You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Friday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Again, it's Friday, December 13th, 2019, and you know what that means? We're staring the weekend right into the face, baby. That's right, December 15th, Sunday, the last game at the Oakland Coliseum versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. It is upon us, and again, it's bittersweet, man, because I've been so excited about what's going to go down this weekend, so excited about being in the Bay, so excited about being at the game, but then I realize that it's coming to an end, and I'll tell you, man, it has been a weird week for me, man. I've been thinking about this, and I've been thinking about the trip, and I'm so excited to be back in Cali and so excited about everything that's going to go on. But at the same time, I know, man, it's the end of an era. It is coming to a close, and that is the Oakland Coliseum. So today's episode, I told you on Thursday, is going to be special. And Raider Nation, please believe it's going to be special. I don't know how long it's going to go. I don't know how many segments it's going to be, but I just know it's going to be special. So buckle up. Hopefully you enjoy. And this is how we get down here on the Locked On Raiders podcast on this Friday. Coming up on today's show, what I'm going to have for you. In segment number three, I'm going to have your call straight off the Locked On Raider podcast. Voicemail line, 707-654-4693. A lot of you sharing your thoughts on the Coliseum, memories of the Coliseum, thoughts on Raider Nation, the fan base. I mean, a lot of good stuff is coming up in segment number three with your calls. Again, straight off that Locked On Raider podcast. Voicemail line at 707-654-4693. Segment number two. Remember I said it was going to be special on Thursday? Well, it is going to be special because we're going to shut things down the right way. And the only way to shut things down the right way is by hearing from Amy Trask. That's right. Former CEO of the Raiders will join us in segment number two. I got an opportunity to talk to her on Wednesday. Was it Wednesday? Yeah, Wednesday evening I got a chance to talk to her. Spent about 13, maybe 14 minutes with her just conversating over the phone, and it was really, really good stuff. I've been pumped up ever since I talked to her. I think I've played the interview back to myself about four or five times already. You will hear Amy Trask, former CEO of the Raiders, CBS Sports, author. She writes for The Athletic. She works for the Big Three. You know, she's chairman of the board of the Big Three. On Twitter, at Amy Trask. You know her. She loves Raider Nation. She loves the Oakland Raiders. She loves everything about the silver and black. You will hear from her in segment number two. And again, I could have made the conversation with her really, really long. Like, we could have talked for 45 minutes, maybe an hour. But instead, I just wanted to make it short but sweet. Hit her with some good questions. After the conversation, I texted her and I said, thank you for joining me and hopping on. And she said, you're good at what you do. It was really a lot of fun. So I think it was a perfect interview, and hopefully you'll think the same thing. That's coming up in segment number two. Here in segment number one, it's going to be the news and the notes of the day, as I always do. And I'm also going to kind of sprinkle in what I think, you know, the keys of the game, because I like to do that on Fridays, give you the keys to the game. I'll tell you right now, I think the Raiders win on Sunday. I mean, it's no doubt about it. I believe that the Raiders are going to win. It is a closeout game, closing out the Coliseum. Every single time the Raiders have thought that they were going to close out the Coliseum, they have won a game. I believe they are a team that will not close out the Coliseum, will not have their final game at home and lose. I just don't believe that they're one of those teams. If you remember a few years ago when they thought it was going to be the final game, it was a Thursday night. I think it was Christmas Eve against the Chargers, Charles Woodson's final game, and they won that game. Came from behind, won that game. Last year, it was the final game. We all thought it was going to be the final game. It was that Monday night against the Broncos, beat the brakes off them. And I don't think it's going to be any different on Sunday versus Jaguars. Maybe I'm blind, maybe I'm crazy, but I'll tell you right now, I don't think there's any way the Raiders lose on Sunday. I don't care if they're on a three-game losing streak, a five-game losing streak. I don't care if they had won all season. I believe they will win on Sunday, and it won't even be anything that we're sweating towards the end. And again, I could be crazy, but that's just my gut feeling. That's what I'm going to roll with. So I'll tell you off top, I believe the Raiders win this game, snap their 3-game losing streak on Sunday versus the Jaguars. So like I said, this episode is going to kind of go all over the place. And so before I even get into the news and the notes of the day, and again, I'm just going to go over the injury report, really just give you an update on the guys that practiced and participated on Thursdays and the guys that didn't. Before I get into that, man, ESPN is going to be doing a documentary. It's actually going to be called The Black Hole, and it's going to air on ESPN on December 17th. So that's Tuesday. It's going to air. So there's a trailer that they put out there, a nice little commercial. And I got a shout out to Raider STL because he sent this to me, sent me the link to it. And I thought it was great. And it kind of gave me chills down my spine just listening to it. So this is just the commercial for the actual documentary. It's whatever. I don't know. It might be 30 minutes. It might be an hour. Who knows? But it's going to be airing, like I said, on Tuesday, December 17th on ESPN. It's called The Black Hole, and this is just a little trailer, the little commercial for it. But man, if this doesn't send you chills, like send chills down your spine, nothing will. And maybe you're not really breathing, and maybe you're not alive, but this right here, this got my blood going. So check this out real quick.
We've been battered and bruised, and we moved and come back.
This is it, man.
The end of an era.
But our colors don't change. We're silver and black. And unto these colors for which we stand, Raider Nation under a groove, where free speech and liberty remember the tools.
There's something about these people that they're nuts.
He who has ears, let him hear. I hereby declare, I am a Raider fan.
We look at the Raiders as real. They left us before, and they came back. That's real life. Stuff leaves, stuff dies, stuff moves, stuff changes. We don't. That's Raider Nation.
I don't know about you, man, but that got me going. That really, really got me going. I can't wait till Tuesday, December 17th to be able to see that. And look, the cameras are going to be rolling on Sunday. So anyone who's going to be at the game, and look, I know all of us that are going to be at the tailgate party, we might end up on the show. And that's not what I'm going there for. That's not my goal. But you never know. You might be on the show. So yeah, that thing right there got my blood going. So let me go ahead and jump into the news and the notes, the little injury report also coming up in this segment. And like I said, it's going to go all over the place. Got a couple of quotes from Charles Woodson. He was actually at practice on Thursday and was in the locker room interviewing. I saw him interviewing Max Crosby after the practice. And I'm sure he was talking to a few other guys, but he was interviewed. Media was able to meet with him, and so he has a couple little statements. It was about a 5 or 6 minute interview. I got about 3 little statements from Charles Woodson that I thought are really good. You're going to hear that here in segment number 1 as well, and then Amy Trask in segment number 2. So let's get into the injury report. Trent Brown, he's been out with that pec injury. He didn't participate on Wednesday, didn't participate on Thursday. We'll see if he goes today, but I'll tell you right now, I have a good feeling Trent Brown will not be playing on Sunday, and that's a disappointment. But at the same time, Brandon Parker did a good job filling in for him. David Sharp did a good job filling in for him earlier in the season against Green Bay. So I do feel confident if Trent Brown's not out there, but you still would like to see him out there. But dealing with that pec injury, I just have a real good feeling Trent Brown will not be in action. Rodney Hudson, he was limited. I'm sure he'll be out there. Gabe Jackson, it's kind of interesting that he didn't participate when he was limited on Wednesday. So we'll kind of have to see and monitor what he does later on today. But no, he did not participate on Thursday, and that's kind of interesting. But again, Gabe Jackson has not been on his A game. His game has not been that great this season ever since he's been dealing with that knee injury and came back from that knee injury. Just hasn't been the same Gabe Jackson that we always know. So if they do have to go to a reserve, it might be okay because the guys that have been filling in for him when he's not in there have been okay. But again, they got a lot of guys injured, so I'd like to see Gabe Jackson out there. Now, the guy that everyone really wants to know about is running back Josh Jacobs. He was cleared on Wednesday by the trainers. He was limited on Thursday, but offensive coordinator Greg Olsen said he looks great. So I feel really, really good about the chances of Josh Jacobs playing on Sunday. Now, obviously, he's got to go ahead and go through practice again today, but I do believe Josh Jacobs will be out there, and that's a good thing. If you got Josh Jacobs out there, especially going up against the Jaguars, you have a real, really good chance. Again, I feel great about the Raiders winning this game on Sunday, but Josh Jacobs is going to be a major factor in winning that game. Defensive back LaMarcus Joyner, he's going to be in the slot like always. John Gruden said he doesn't want to move him out of the slot. He's dealing with that hamstring injury. He was limited. I'm sure he's going to go. Not even concerned about that. Linebacker Markell Lee, He played on Sunday, but he didn't participate on Wednesday, and he did not participate on Thursday. So kind of interested on seeing what's going on with Markell Lee. Again, he didn't play a whole bunch of snaps on Sunday, but he did play. And he was pretty fired up, had a lot of energy. He's coming back from that toe injury, but not participating on Wednesday or Thursday is kind of alarming. So have to pay attention a little bit later today to see if he was able to get through practice. Now, here's a good sign. Hunter Renfrow, you know he hasn't played in a few weeks ever since he punctured a lung and broke his rib against the Jets. He didn't participate on Wednesday. He was limited on Thursday. So just to see him out there is good. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to play on Sunday, but just to see that Hunter Renfrow is actually participating in practice, even in a limited capacity, means, and I feel pretty good about, if he doesn't play this week, he'll play next week against the Chargers and then like finish off the season against the Chargers and the Broncos. Would love to see him out there on Sunday against the Jaguars, but just knowing that he's starting to get back into practice, that is a good thing. So I'm not mad at that. Kyle Wilbur, he didn't participate. The linebacker, he's a special teams guy, not worried about him. Defensive back Darryl Worley, he didn't participate. He didn't participate on Wednesday or Thursday, which is interesting because John Gruden talked about sprinkling him in at safety position. So I would think that he would get some kind of practice in before he goes out there and plays a little bit of safety instead of corner. So that's one of those notes that you got to kind of look at and say, what's going on there? He did not participate. So maybe a little bit later on today, he will. Marcel Aitman, he's dealing with a rib injury. He was limited on Thursday. And then Eric Harris, who's dealing with a hamstring injury, he was limited. I'm sure both those guys will be available. Aitman doesn't really get into the game, but Eric Harris, you know he's back there a lot of times. So I'm sure that he'll be able to go. The interesting guys here, again, Gabe Jackson not participating, Josh Jacobs being limited, that's good. Markell Lee not participating, that's interesting. Hunter Renfrow being limited, that's a good thing. And then Darryl Worley not participating, that's very interesting because, again, John Gruden talked about him taking snaps at safety on Sunday, and he's not practicing at all, that would be a strange transition, just not practicing, then all of a sudden, hey, we're going to throw you in there at safety. So we'll see how that shakes out. Now, real quick, Charles Woodson, he was in the Raiders locker room after practice on Thursday, and he got to meet with the media for a few minutes, and you can see the whole thing on Raiders.com if you want to check it out. It's almost about 6 minutes long, but I just got three clips that I want to play for you, and I just love the way that Charles Woodson breaks this down. So the very first thing that Charles Woodson was asked was about his best memory at the Oakland Coliseum, and was it that last game, that Thursday night game, that Christmas Eve game where they were playing against the Chargers and they came from behind? He even got in on offense a little bit. Was that his best memory at the Oakland Coliseum?
Oh man, that was it. You know what? Yeah. That was incredible, man. You know, it was against a rival. You know, the game ended up going into overtime. You know, it was a night game. And, you know, just the way the team battled, the way the team fought, you know, was extra special. You know, I actually got to, you know, had a chance to throw a pass, but I elected not to throw it because I didn't want to throw an interception on my last play. But that was fun to get the ball back in my hands. But then, you know, after the game, you know, to be able to address the fans, you know, have the little Gatorade bath or water or whatever it was, man, was pretty cool to have your teammates around after the game, you know, just in appreciation of, you know, what they thought of me, you know, as a player and as a teammate. You know, that was great for me. Having a fan run out on the field, you know, me and Derek just talked about that. That was unreal, you know.
Did he look crazy?
Well, it's just something you only feel like you see that kind of stuff on TV, you know. And, you know, I was telling Derek that, you know, he touched me, and I'm thinking, why is the referee touching me, you know? And I turn and I see, you know what I'm saying, a fan on the field, and I'm like discombobulated, you know, but... You know, that moment, you know, compounded with all of the rest of the moments and the atmosphere that night, you know, being able to have my kids and my wife down there on the field after the game and doing that whole pageantry of it, man, that I'll never forget.
He said he'll never forget that. I ain't never going to forget that, man. That was a great Christmas Eve, wasn't it? I remember the whole family left. They went. I think that they were going to look at Christmas lights or something like that. And I'm like, the hell with that. I'm watching this damn game. And so I was watching that game, and I remember they were losing. And I had a couple friends that are Charger fans were hitting me up like, what your Raiders going to do? And then all of a sudden they came back and won that game. Man, could nobody pick up their phone. I was so ready to talk trash, and nobody wanted to pick up their phone, but that was such a great game, and I didn't care what happened on Christmas because I was like, man, my Christmas Eve has already been made. Everything is all good. You can't tell me nothing. So that was a great night for me, and I know Damn well, it was a better night for Charles Woodson. He, like he said, he had his kids out there. His wife was out there. Remember, he grabbed the mic and was talking to the crowd. I mean, everything was good, man. That was one of those nights where you want to get emotional, but then you're looking around like, I hope nobody's looking at me because I kind of feel a little bit of emotional. But again, Charles Woodson was showing so much love to the fans, and that was another question that was asked of him. You know, what makes this Raider fan base? And I tell people all the time, the Raiders are just different than everybody else. You can't be a Raider if you ain't a Raider. It's just something about it. You've got to either be a Raider or you're not. You know what I mean? It's not something that you could just say, yeah, I think I'm going to do this week. It's a different type of fan base. So Charles Woodson was asked, what makes this fan base so stinking special?
You know, I think for every fan base, they're unique to their team. But, you know, Oakland, man, it seems like it drives a little deeper. You know, I think when you're around Oakland fans, you're in the stadium, or you're out, you know, at Walmart or wherever you're at, man, it just seems like it drives a little deeper. And, you know, they, you know, the Raiders fans certainly love their team. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be a hard day, you know, for a lot of fans that are here in the Bay Area and are used to going to that conference and watch the games. But special fans, it was always fun to run out there on Sundays. You know, when I was first here, you know, we used to run to the black hole and then run from there. They changed it up to ride the tunnel. But, you know, standing in front of the black hole, you know, and to have the fans be inside of the stadium, the amount of, you know, anticipation and the energy that would give you before you ran out and played, man, was second to none. So, you know, that's going to be something that's going to be missed.
It will be missed, but, you know, like you've heard before, I mean, Raider Nation is Raider Nation. Raider Nation is everywhere. And so, no doubt about it, even though the Coliseum is closing down and Vegas is going to be a different animal, it doesn't matter, man. Raider Nation is so strong and so proud and so loud and so, you know, so everything that it might take a little bit of time. It might be a little bit of a transition period, but please believe the fan base is going to be absolutely nuts. And the way that Vegas embraced the Vegas Golden Knights, please believe they're going to embrace the Raiders, and they're going to embrace them in a major way. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. But again, Sunday is going to be bittersweet. So the final clip I got for you is Charles Woodson being asked about what impact not only the Raiders had on him as a young man when he was drafted by the Raiders, and what impact did not only the Raiders have on him, but the city of Oakland. Because again, the Coliseum, the city of Oakland is just a different breed. You could be from the Bay, you could be from California, you could be from somewhere else, but it's just not Oakland. Oakland is just, it's a different animal. It's a different beast. And that's what makes Oakland so awesome. And that's what makes it just a different, like I said, a different animal, man. I always tell everybody, you're just cut from a different cloth when you're a Bay Cat, when you're an Oakland Cat, when you're a Five and Dimer. I mean, it's just different. So what kind of impact did the city of Oakland and the Raiders have on Charles Woodson as a young man?
Well, man, I was a kid, you know, basically, you know, coming out here. I was, you know, I came out here essentially on my own, so to speak.
They had the massive pool yesterday.
But, you know, just thinking back to, you know, getting here and the guys that I had in the locker room, I think that was the biggest thing for me, you know, because we were really a close-knit group, you know. And just thinking of names of guys, man, I was, you know, last few days, I really, you know, been thinking about the guys that I came encountered with. I remember sitting right here and Eric Turner was over there, man. I didn't have any shower shoes. And Eric's like, hey, man, you about to go get a shower, right? I was like, yeah. So you got any shower shoes? I'm like, nah, man, you got to put some shower shoes on. So he threw me a pair of his, you know, and, you know, thinking about, you know, Mo Collins, you know, may he rest in peace. You know, we're rookies together. Very good friends. We spent a lot of time together, man. I spent a lot of time with his family. He with mine. You know, I remember, you know, Friday nights, you know, we would hop around at different people's places and have dinners, game nights. It might be at Mo's house, Perry Carter's house, James Trapp's house. Then it shot to Tim Brown's house and kind of bounce around and you know, during, you know, those first, you know, few years, you know, that's our team bonded that way. Darrell Russell was another guy. We spent a lot of time with him and his family. And so it's just a lot of memories around here, man, of people that I was around. And, you know, You miss those things.
Just love hearing Charles Woodson talk about those players that played with him, and, you know, talking about the Daryl Russells. I used to go to the club with him, Club Access in the Bay. I used to be in the club, and he'd be there. You know, Eric Allen, he used to be at Gums Barbershop, my barbershop, where I'm going on Saturday. He used to be there. Ricky Dudley used to be there all the time. I mean, just seeing those guys around the Bay. I used to see Grady Jackson. I used to see him at Southland Mall in Hayward. I mean, just running across these guys in the Bay all the time was so stinking cool, man. C. Wood, I see him all the time down at Jack London Square. I mean, all these guys, you know, it's just, it's crazy, man. It's almost like how accessible everybody was, but it wasn't even like they were trying to be accessible. It's just like, hey, man, they were living that Bay lifestyle, man. It was just, it was so much fun. So just hearing him bring up all those names and hanging out at Tim Brown's house. And, you know, Tim Brown's son went to school right there in Pleasanton. You know, and I forget the name of the school, but yeah, it was right there in Pleasanton. It was right around the corner from the grocery store I worked at when I worked at Lucky's. Damn, I can't remember the name of the school. But anyway, it was right there in Pleasanton. Those guys were always, always around. They were always available. And anytime you saw them in the streets, it was always like, what's up? Hey, how you? And you know what I mean? Just, it was super, it was always love, man. So just really cool right there to hear Charles Woodson talk about that. Coming up in segment number two, I got my interview on with Amy Trask. I was able to talk to her Wednesday night about all things Raiders, all things Coliseum, Raider fans, Al Davis. I mean, we touched on a lot of subjects. The move to Vegas, we touched on a lot of subjects, and you're going to hear that next. It's only about 14 minutes. You see, this segment went really long. It's only about 14, maybe 15 minutes, but you're going to hear that next here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. But before I get into that, though, I got to tell you about Blue Chew. And Blue Chew, fellas, is not just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants that extra function, that extra boost in the bedroom. You know, a lot of guys talk that good game. You know, some of you fellas out there, you know how it is. Talk like you're more than a one-hitter quitter, but at the end of the day, it's like, woo, that was good, and I'm done, and roll over and go to sleep. You don't want that. Your lady doesn't want that. You know, it gives you a bad reputation. You don't want that bad reputation. Well, Blue Chew could help you out. It's prescribed online, and it ships straight to your door in a discreet package. No in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and of course, no awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they are cheaper than a pharmacy. Blue Chew, it's blue, like the color blue. It brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredient as Viagra and Cialis, so you know it's going to work. Take it anytime, day or night, full stomach or not. They're chewable. They work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. So if you're at the tailgate on Sunday, you can be right there. You can pop in a rib. Pop in a Blue Chew. I'm just saying. I mean, that's your option. You could do it. And I don't know. I mean, hey, maybe that opportunity arises at the Coliseum. You never know. Some freaky dicky things have gone on at the Coliseum. No doubt about it. Right now, great special for all Locked On Raider podcast listeners. Go to BlueChew.com. Get your first shipment free when you use special promo code Locked On. Just pay $5 for shipping. Again, BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On. Try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them all the time for being a sponsor of the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders. Your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Joining me now on the phone line is really a woman that needs no introduction, but I'm going to give her one anyway. She's a great football mind, author of the book You Negotiate Like a Girl, chairman of the board of the Big Three, writes for The Athletic, has been and continues to be an inspiration for women, men, children, even myself, and most famously, CEO of the Raiders, Amy Trask. Welcome to the show, Amy. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure to join you. Thank you for having me. It really is a treat.
No, it really is. I mean, the pleasure is all mine, and I've been able to talk to you a few times on Radio Row at multiple Super Bowls. We communicate on Twitter all the time, and there's one thing I know that you're very passionate about, and that's the silver and black, and that's why I wanted to have you on this show. So what does this Sunday's game, the Raiders' final game at the Oakland Coliseum, playing on that baseball, football field, even though, you know, the dirt's not going to be there, but what does this last hurrah at the Coliseum mean to you?
It's obviously a very, very significant moment. The word I can best use to describe it is surreal. I'm sure that I'll have a chance this coming Sunday on CBS Sports Network to talk about this and on CBS Sports, and hopefully I'll be more articulate than I am being right now. I feel a little bumbling and stumbling as I'm trying to put into words something I'm not sure I can easily put into words.
Yeah, that's totally understandable. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's still kind of surreal to myself and just going to be in the atmosphere on Sunday, so I'm very excited about that. But, you know, people always ask me all the time, why the Raiders? Why do you love the Coliseum so much? Why do you love the silver and black? And I try best to describe it that it's so difficult until you've really witnessed it yourself. And the best way you can, I know it's difficult, How do you describe what the Coliseum, what makes the Coliseum so special?
Well, I'll use a French expression. It's a je ne sais quoi. There is just something exceptionally, extraordinarily different about that ambiance and that atmosphere. And look, whenever I talk about this on television, I hear from fans of other teams that want to speak up on behalf of their fan bases. And I certainly don't mean in any way to denigrate the fan bases of other NFL or non-NFL teams. I just believe there's something very, very special. As I said, a je ne sais quoi about that experience in Oakland.
That's a great, if I can ever learn how to say that, I'm going to use that because that is great. I love that. What does it mean to be a Raider? I mean, just even a player, a coach, a CEO, a Raider fan. I mean, just what does it mean to be a member of the Silver and Black, the Raider Nation?
Well, what originally attracted me to the Raiders, and let me back up for a moment. I grew up in Southern California. I was a football fan from the time I was in junior high, but I didn't have a particular affinity for any one team. And then I found myself at Cal Berkeley, and the Raiders were just down the road or down the freeway, however you wish to look at it. And I fell in love with everything about the organization, not only the style of play, not only the swagger, but the fact that this was an organization, an owner of which gave people second chances, and in some instances, third and fourth and fifth chances, and gave chances to individuals that other organizations had labeled behavior problems or worse. Having been labeled a behavior problem when I was in kindergarten, and some people would say that still holds true, it resonated with me. It rang a chord. I don't know the expression. It's not rang a chord. It's not rang a bell. It resonated with me that what Al looked for were people who could contribute, and he didn't care if others had labeled those individuals behavior problems, and he was willing to give second chances to people, and I have been given second chances and third and fourth chances as I grew up. So I loved everything about the organization, both the on-field play, the swagger, all of the things I just described, and of course, Al, decades and decades ahead of his time, hiring without regard to race, gender, ethnicity, or any other individuality, which had no bearing whatsoever on whether one can do a job.
Talking right now with the great Amy Trask. You're guaranteed to learn something every time you hear her speak. You can find her on Twitter at Amy Trask, but make sure you say and hi. And you mentioned Al. You mentioned Al and how he was ahead of the curve. What made him that way? I mean, everyone's not cut like that. They're not built to be ahead of the curve and look ahead like that, but he really was.
He really was. And look, there will be some people who are listening to your podcast that love the Raiders and loved Al, and there will be others who are not Raider fans and didn't like Al. But I would hope if everybody is being intellectually honest, we can all recognize and salute him for what he did in that regard. He really did this without everything he did. Hiring, by the way, hiring and firing and cussing at people was without regard to gender or race or religion or any other individuality, which has no bearing whatsoever on whether someone can do a job. And that's the way the world should work. And I like to believe that there's such a thing as business Darwinism, and that if a business does not do as Al did, it should ultimately fail, because by definition, it's excluding and eliminating from consideration vast swaths of people that can contribute. I mean, look, Al hired me in the mid-80s, the early part of the mid-80s, if you will. There weren't discussions back then about women in sports. I mean, that was, I don't even want to know if you were alive then. I don't even want to know if your listeners were alive then, because a lot of them were not. That was a long time ago. So when you put in perspective what he did, and I will do this in chronological order, no order of relevance, of course, but he hired Tom Flores. He hired me. He hired Art Schell. Those weren't aberrations. That's the man he was.
And I was born in 76, just for the record.
Oh, thank gosh.
So it is all good. But you know, Amy, I asked that last question, and I know you're on CBS Sports, and I know that you know, you're on and you're talking football, and you love to talk football, and you're really good at it. And I love the game as well, and I love how it evolves. And I just feel like, and I look at some of these quarterbacks that are playing right now, and I feel like the position itself has evolved. So I wanted to pick your brain real quick on that. I mean, there's not Peyton Manning out there, and Brady's kind of towards the end. Breeze is kind of towards the end. But now you're seeing Lamar Jackson. You're seeing Dak Prescott. Guy. You're seeing Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, and Al went, his last pick was Terrell Pryor. I feel like he kind of saw this wave coming before anyone else saw this wave coming.
Well, and Terrell, a magnificent player, but just a terrific Raider. And that's a great point you make. And by the way, do you remember it wasn't too many years ago, less than a handful, that people were running around like Chicken Little screaming to Henny Penny, there's no good young quarterbacks. And now you just gave a list of really, really exciting quarterbacks. I'll throw into that list, you may have mentioned it, I didn't hear it, Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
There are some really good, exciting young quarterbacks. And look, the game is different. The game has always evolved. And now there are so many rules in place to benefit the offense. And I'm a defense girl. I like defense. We once won a game in Oakland. We beat the Chargers 7-6. And everyone was grousing that it was such a boring game. No offense. I was dancing around like Tinkerbell saying, what a great defensive matchup. What a great defensive struggle. But the rules in place now do benefit the offense. What I think we're going to watch evolve over time may be an adjustment to what you can do to a running quarterback when he's out of the pocket. Because right now, when a quarterback comes out of the pocket and is running like a running back, you can tackle him like a running back. Whereas you can't do that to a quarterback behind the line of scrimmage. So it'll be interesting to watch that evolve, but you're 100% right. Al was always ahead of the curve in those regards.
You know, you mentioned that 7-6 game, and I think that if I remember correctly, that was the Hail Mary, right, to James Jett. Was that the one?
Well, I don't consider it a Hail Mary, but you are right. It could have been considered that. It was 25 bingo cross, and it was Wade Wilson to James Jett. Your memory is perfect. And James was just flying down the field. And right before that play, a lot of people don't know this, but the corner who was covering James was giving him a lot of yak, yak, yak about, you haven't done anything, you haven't done anything, you haven't done anything. Well, be careful what you wish for, friend, because next play, James flew by him like a car on a freeway going by a stalled car on the side of the road. Caught that pass, we won the game, and I think I did kind of dance out of the stadium.
I'll tell you, I learned a great lesson in Raiders history that day. Never leave a game early. I was actually in the parking lot.
I did.
I learned this lesson, and I'll never do it now. I was in the parking lot, and all of a sudden, the crowd erupted, and I looked at myself, and I had my girlfriend at the time with me, and I looked at her, and I said, this is all your fault. You made me leave early, and so I'll never leave again because of that game.
Wow, you blamed her for that,
I
huh?
did.
Wow.
You
okay,
caught that.
All right.
I didn't know you were going to catch that.
did you end the relationship right there that minute in the parking lot?
When we got back to the house, yes. But, you know, it happens. It wasn't a good relationship anyway. Anytime you have someone make you leave a Raider game early, it's not going to be good, right?
That should be a litmus test.
Exactly. Absolutely. Talking right now with Amy Trask, and I just got a couple more questions for you. John Gruden returned to the sidelines for the Raiders in 2018. I've heard multiple times he's a guy that you asked and urged Al not to trade away because of what he was and what he could be and the potential of him. 4-12 the first year, didn't go great, but, you know, there was a lot of adversity. 6-7 so far this year. What are just your thoughts from a distance about what is going on? Do you see the rebuild? Do you see the plan? Do you see the blocks being put in place for this team to be back where it needs to be?
Well, you know, what's interesting is, and you use the word rebuild, when Mark Davis hired Reggie, he spoke, and I'm not sharing anything sort of behind the scenes, this was stated publicly, he brought Reggie in to, quote, tear it down and rebuild it. And Reggie was doing that, clearly not to the satisfaction of those in the organization, because he was let go and replaced. And what I find interesting is John is doing a rebuild of a rebuild.
Right.
And I think there's something, there's like 10 or fewer players still on the team that were there before John joined the organization. So he clearly didn't like the rebuild that was done, and is now doing his own rebuild, and they've brought in some very, very exciting young players. They really have. To that point, and I said this publicly on CBS Sports and on the radio, any number of locations at the time, I think Mike Mayock was a terrific addition to the front office for a number of reasons, and I think we're seeing that in the types of players that are joining the organization.
Absolutely. Amy, what would Al think of the new stadium opportunity? I mean, Vegas is a city he loved, but what would he think of the new stadium opportunity that they're going to have in 2020?
That's probably a longer discussion for a different time, because I don't think I can put that all in very quickly.
Right.
I think it would be a very, very mixed emotion. Al made clear to me how passionate he was and how strongly he felt about the Oakland market. And when the team was relocating from Los Angeles in the mid-90s, we looked at any number of alternatives, including in Los Angeles, which from a revenue standpoint only would have been advisable if you're only looking at revenues. And Al made very clear that his priority was going back to Oakland. So I think he'd be of a mixed mind. He would be very excited that there was a new building, a building that is going to be, by all accounts, magnificent. The team is clearly going to be able to prioritize, or is prioritizing, maximizing its revenues, but it will be a different marketplace, so there'll be a lot of paradigm shifts.
No doubt about that. That is the great Amy Trask right there, football mind, love picking her brain, author of the book You Negotiate Like a Girl, chairman of the board of the Big Three, writes for The Athletic. I saw some of your work a little earlier today. Obviously was the CEO of the Raiders and on CBS Sports, and you'll be on there Sunday morning, I'm assuming, right?
I will, Sunday morning. And they always like to say, Amy, you know, advertise the fact when you talk about the show that it starts at 8 a.m. And I always say to them, no, it starts at 8 a.m. in New York. It starts at 5 a.m. out here in California. So I may be in New York on the show, but my husband's getting up at 5 a.m. to watch it.
Well, that's what's up. And if he's anywhere around the Oakland Coliseum, tell him to come on by Lot B. We have a huge tailgate party with his name on it. If he wants to stop by, he could be a guest.
You know what? He would absolutely love that. But as we no longer live up in that area, that won't be possible. But I will convey it to him, and I'm sure he'll be touched.
That's what's up. I appreciate that. Amy, that is great stuff. Thank you so much. Enjoy Sunday. We always enjoy listening to you and the way you represent the Raider Nation as well.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, so there it was, Raider Nation. Hopefully you enjoyed that. It was short but sweet. Amy Trask, at Amy Trask on Twitter. Make sure you hit her up and let her know that you appreciate her giving me some time in that conversation. And again, I mean, I really could have gone on like 25, 35, maybe 40 minutes, but I know that her time is valuable, and I didn't want to really do that. I just wanted to kind of boom, 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 hit some quick shots with her, get some quick stories with her, and I thought that she really delivered and brought the heat, man. And she's so nice on Twitter. Again, at Amy Trask on Twitter. You got to say and hi, though, because she always says that. Like, hey, Amy, you're great, and hi. And she'll always respond. She really, really is cool on Twitter, man. She'll hit you up and respond every time. So I just think that that's really, really stinking cool. And she was actually one of the people that I thought would have been a good candidate to light the torch, the Al Davis Memorial Torch. But with her being in New York on Sunday, she clearly is not going to be doing that. Charles Woodson, who's there in town right now, he's a good candidate of being there and being the one that lights the torch. But who knows? Who knows going to be the one? But hopefully you enjoyed that conversation with Amy Trask. And if you did, feel free to reach out to her at Amy Trask on Twitter. Coming up in segment number three, your call straight off the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line at 707-654-4693. Before I get into that, I got to tell you about MyBookie. And you say, why you got to tell me about that? Well, because it's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. I definitely would not tell you to bet with them if they weren't the best. But they are the best, so go ahead and bet with them. Do the smart thing. If you're betting football this season, and the season's almost over, but if you are betting football, do it with MyBookie. And you can actually bet on games after the kickoff. If by the second half you think that this other team's going to lose, like maybe you were looking at the game last night and you're like, oh yeah, the Ravens are going to win this game, no doubt about it. And then you're like, well, maybe the Jets are going to come back. And then you realize, no, the Ravens are going to actually win this game. You know, you can switch your bet if you want to, and you can still win money. If you're the kind of person that likes to bet a little and win a lot, you can do a parlay. All your picks come through, you're going to multiply your winning just like that. So again, no matter how you bet, you always do it in the NFL season because that's the best time of year, and you do it with MyBookie. They are the best, and they'll double your first deposit if you use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Go to MyBookie.ag today, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. You play, you win, you get paid, only with MyBookie. Segment number three is on the way.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we are, Raider Nation, segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. It is time to shine. It is your call straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line at 707-654-4693. Sean from Salt Lake City, he's up first, calling in to speak on one of his favorite memories at the Coliseum. Here he is, Sean from Salt Lake City.
Hey, what up, Q? What up, Raider Nation? This is Sean from Salt Lake City. I am so bad with names. Someone called in and talked about urinating next to Al Davis. And two things. One, I think it's kind of funny that's a memory you think of because I'm a big Notre Dame fan. When I went on a campus tour and went to the locker room, I snuck underneath a rope and went pee in the locker room and then also took a drink from the drinking fountain. And I was like freaking out because like Tim Brown, Joe Montana, all those guys have done that. And I just think it's funny that I'm not the only weird person that would think of something like that. Either way, you got me thinking about one of my favorite memories from my games that I've been to. I live in Salt Lake, obviously. I try to go to a game once a year ever since I turned 21 when I started getting, like, when I had a good job, had money to do so. And I've been to, I believe, four games to Coliseum, and I went one in Arizona. But one of my favorite memories would have to be back in 2017. Yes, 2017 is the game versus the Ravens, and Carr hurt his back and didn't play. I remember I was sitting there that summer. I was at work, and I had the strong feeling. So I apologize, this is a long call, Q. But I had the strong feeling to just go to a game with my mom and my little brother, their first game. My mom is, she's a Raider fan because I am. She loves football. My brother's a huge Raiders fan. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to save up the money. I'm buying them tickets for going. And luckily for us as Raider fans, Raider tickets are fairly cheap compared to other teams. I was able to make it work. And I remember just thinking, like, this, the Ravens game has got to be the game to go to. Don't know why, but I just felt like it was. So I went with it, bought it. All things good, right? Come up Thursday, we were planning on driving Friday morning, and all that stuff. I got off work Thursday. I get a call from my mom that my grandmother, her mom, had passed away. And it was kind of expected. My mom's been dealing all week with it and stuff, and then she just finally passed. And my mom hung up to it for about a month. And everything was just so hard. But for us to be able to go and get away from all the drama, all the stress of life, was just one of the greatest things that ever could happen to her. Granted, we lost, but she was just so grateful for the game. And I was grateful that we're able to, even though it was such a bad something that happened, we're able to kind of escape it and then have something good come of that weekend, I guess, you know? Just some alone time, just us, just her and her two boys, you know? And I don't know, that's probably one of my favorite moments, just because for obvious reasons. Every time I go to the stadium, I love it. I mean, I remember the year before that, 2015, I was able to give Charles Woodson a high five, and that was the coolest thing ever. Seeing them beat the Bengals this year, my final time was cool. My first game was seeing Rich Gannon versus the Bills, and they won 13-10, and I don't know. So many good memories, but I know everyone who's going Sunday, enjoy it. Raiders, let's get this last one, boys.
That's awesome, man. I love that memory, and I love how you made that trip help you get over the situation that you were going through. And obviously, that situation was not a fun one, but you still made it work, and that's great, man. That's good stuff. Thank you so much for sharing that. Appreciate you. Thanks for leading us off. Next, Raider J from the BK calling in to speak about the season, expectations, what the Raiders have been doing, and his overall feelings on the team this season in 2019. Here he is, Raider J from the BK.
Hey, Q, Raider J from the BK. Freezing here, snow on the ground, just the kind of weather that our boy Derek Carr doesn't like. All kidding aside, a lot of Raider Nation caught the playoff vapors, and now somehow I think a lot of these guys, based on all these calls, think this season was a bust. But I would just ask you this. If you think back to the beginning of the year, what was your predicted win-loss, each of you who think this season was a bust? I know the Vegas line was 6 or 6.5, something like that. I had them going 8-8. Maybe a couple more with AB. I think this season has been a win so far. Obviously some huge blowouts. They stink, but this team showed a lot this year. Weathered a bunch of traveling, smacked the Bears. We didn't have to hear about that Khalil Mack issue. We won 6 games so far. We're a win away from beating the Vegas odds. So in my mind, I think we're ahead of schedule. There's also a lot of nice pieces and new players in the form of, Josh Jacobs, Mad Max, Hunter Renfrow, Foster Moreau. I even think Deion Jordan's going to be really good. We got some really good second years out of Darren Waller and Colton Miller, who were question marks. And obviously the jury's still out on guys like Jonathan Abram and Trayvon Mullen, but I actually think both those guys can be really good. And then Isaiah Johnson, Keyshawn Nixon, either of those guys develop, that's a huge bonus. So the point is, I think there's a lot to be excited about for the future. Look, you hear Gruden in the press talk about how, you know, he wants to get a playoff run going for Oakland. And I actually really do think he wants that. I think he thought that would be great. But I'm really glad that Mayock didn't give away picks in order to let this team make a short run in the playoff. And it would be a short run. We have a terrible defense. Our D has a lot of bright spots, but overall it's really bad. And on the whole, it gets exposed a lot against better than average teams. And I think the main problem is this. The team walks a real tightrope trying to play ball control style offense with a D that can give up 40 points in a quarter, or in a half, or in a game. And you just can't win like that. If something goes wrong, you don't have the horses to get it back and to have a shootout. And so I think next year with free agents and with drafts, we'll get a wideout, we'll get some better pass rushers, maybe a couple cornerbacks. But the whole goal here is to win our division. And that means building a team to beat KC. And right now our defense cannot hang with the speed on that wide receiver core. And we need to do something about that. So be patient. Gunther and Carr, I'm not super fired up about, but they're both making the trip to Vegas, and just let Mayock continue to build the team in with free agents and draft picks. And I think we're going to be good. Let's win one last game at the Coliseum and we'll keep rolling along. Peace out, Raider Nation.
Yeah, man, I think you're spot on. This team, it has a lot of good pieces to build around. They just got to make it happen. You know, and as far as draft picks, it's definitely good to hold on to most picks possible and grab some guys in the draft and then go into free agency, especially when you got plenty of money, dip into that free agency. And of course, the most important thing you said there was about KC and having to beat them. That is spot on. The Raiders have to find a way to beat KC, because until they do, Kansas City is going to continue to be the favorites in the AFC West. They will be until you beat them. So that's what the Raiders have to do. Try to find a team that can continuously beat Kansas City. That is spot on. Next up, the Welch Raider in Sacramento. I believe his name is the Welch Raider. He's calling in as a new booty, talking a variety of subjects, including the score for Sunday's game, favorite Coliseum memory, and also the tailgate we're going to have on Sunday. Here he is, the Welch Raider in Sacramento.
Hello, Q. This is Di, the Welch Raider out of Sacramento. My first time calling. Hopefully I get on the show. Just calling. There are a couple of things I want to talk about. First of all, you always mention the length of the show and how it's going too long. It's probably something to do with Locked On telling you that it's got to be short for servers or whatever, but I'm happy sitting there listening for hours because I love your Raider talk. I think you do it really well. Keep it up. Second thing, you never put a score prediction on the game for Sunday when you're doing your crossover on Wednesday. So I'd love to hear what you think our team's going to do. I'm thinking last game at home against the crappy Jaguars defense, I think we're going to win. It'll be a slim margin, but we'll do it. Love to hear what you think. Third, Rene on the town, saying his famous or favorite moments at the Coliseum. I've been here for 18 years now. Been to the Coliseum 5 times, and this Sunday will be my 6th. My favorite time to go was last season, the only time I've ever seen the Raiders win in person, and that was versus the Browns when they won in overtime from stupid scoreline, but heck, that was a fun game. And I managed to miss my train because I wanted to stay for overtime. And lastly, going to try and stop in at the tailgate just to make an appearance and say hello, shake your hand. Couldn't join in because I just got married, and me and the wife have obviously had to go ahead and put our money out elsewhere. So hope to see you there. It's going to be a great day, and I'm looking forward to it. Go Raiders. Cheers.
Great call, my man. Welcome to the family. Hopefully I got your name right. If I did, great. If I didn't, I apologize for that. But, yeah, as far as score predictions, I usually do that on Friday before the show is over when I give the keys to the game. So I'll put it out there right now. I think that the Raiders win 24-10. I think Oakland wins in a comfortable fashion, and we as fans party the whole time. I mean, I really do. I don't have any kind of belief that the Jaguars are going to win this game. I don't think the Oakland Raiders are going to allow themselves to close out the Coliseum with a loss. I just don't. I don't see that coming. I'm very confident that they're going to win this game, no doubt about that. And nice memory as far as the game goes. And please, man, if you're there, stop by the tailgate and say hello. We'll be in Lot B. You'll see the big Locked On Raiders podcast flag flying. Stop by, say hello. I'm the guy with the 24 jersey. It says your boy Q on the back. Yeah, that's me. Say what up, though. Say what up, though. That's all you got to do. So I appreciate you. And again, thank you for calling and being part of the family. Next up, Jordan in Oregon. He's calling in to talk about the fans and what's going to be going on Sunday in Oakland, the game, the tailgate, and more. Here he is, Jordan in Oregon.
Hey, Q. This is Jordan in Oregon. Hey, man, just wanted to call in and say just a few words in regards to you guys and this weekend and what you're doing out there in Oakland. I just wanted to say to all Raider fans, I don't care where you live. If you live in Africa, Alaska, Oregon, Oakland, anywhere, California, Texas, wherever you're at, I just want to shout out. I appreciate your fandom and your support to this team. Because if you're listening to this right now, it obviously shows that you have not lost faith in this team and in the direction they're going. So I want to shout out that. And then, you know, just thinking about the situation and all you guys getting together and how fired up you are about meeting up down there in Oakland, California. Wish I could be a part of that, but unfortunately, life situations won't let me get there. But, hey, I just wanted to say, I appreciate all of you and what you're doing on Sunday, but really, the main thing I want to get across here, I could have just said this from the start, but the Oakland Raider fan that has supported that team at Oco Coliseum. I've been fortunate enough to be there a few times, but I don't live down there, to be there more. But that fan that's there supporting them when they moved back in 95 or whenever you started supporting them, the money and the time that you've taken out of your day in your life to support that team and the memories that you chose to create there at Oco, I just want to say thank you. I appreciate that from a fan that's been watching from afar for years. That you guys have created the Raider image. You guys are the Raiders. It's you guys. It's you guys, man. And that's awesome. That's freaking awesome. What fan base can you literally kind of, in a way, I guess the fan base symbolizes exactly who the Raiders are. And I don't even need to speak on that. I think you all understand what I mean. When we see you guys on TV every Sunday, and, you know, the black hole, every single one of you guys, I appreciate. And, you know, this is the last time you're going to rock that place, so do it right, man. It should be a lot of fun, and I expect it's going to be a high-energy game. And just wanted to shout all you guys out, but mainly the Oakland Raider fan, you deserve some love, man, and the ones that have been there through thick and thin. And, you guys have fun Sunday, and peace out, Raider Nation. Look forward to seeing y'all.
Great call, and yes, we need to absolutely salute the Raider Nation. I mean, really, we absolutely need to salute the Raider Nation, and this will probably be a show that I do next week. Probably not Monday, because Monday's show I'll probably end up doing from my phone. But Tuesday's show, when I get back to Central Texas and I can actually sit down, I'll probably do a show just based off the fan base. Because, look, this is how it goes, man. Players, they come and go. Some, you know, like Charles Woodson that we heard from earlier, like he was around for so long that, yeah, he can have an emotional attachment. But free agency just kind of makes it like players come and go. Not a big deal. It is what it is. Coaches come and go all the time. But the fans are the ones that are there each and every week. The fans are the ones that have organized a huge tailgate party. The fans are the ones that paint their face. The fans that are the ones that get there when the gates open. The fans are the ones that are screaming and yelling, banging on the fences at the Coliseum. The fans are the ones that John Gruden runs to and gives big hugs to. It's about the fan base. You know, the team, over the last 20-something years, the team hasn't done anything to keep the Raider Nation, the tradition, the legacy alive. It's been the fans of the Silver and Black. So absolutely, Jordan, great call, spot on, salute to the Silver and Black, the fan base. Raider Nation, salute to you. Great call, and like I said, I'll definitely do that show probably on Tuesday when I get back to town. Vader Raider in the 303, he's up next. Quick call here, responding to PE in North Carolina from a couple days ago. Here he is, Vader Raider in the 303.
What's up, Q? What's up, Raider Nation? It's your boy, Vader Raider. Just heard PE's call, and shout out to PE. It's good to hear from you. It's good that you're still out there taking care of business for us out there in North Carolina. All I'm going to say, PE, mic drop. Vader Raider out.
Mic drop, huh? Vader Raider said, that's all I need to know. Hey, shout out to PE for being around and glad to see that you're still doing your thing, and mic drop. So PE's call from a couple days ago was really good. It was a real passionate call, about 5.5 minutes, but it was a really, really good call. So thank you, Vader Raider, for following up on that. XMO Raider, he's up next. He's calling as a first-time caller, so that means he's a new booty. Has a quick call and a statement he wants to make on the game and on DC. Here he is, XMO Raider.
Hey, Q. Hey, Raider Nation. On the Locked On Raider Nation podcast. It's your boy, XMO Raider. Hey, Q, sorry I ain't called you. It's my new booty call. Yeah, boy. But you did give me a shout-out last year around this time. My Twitter handle and my first name, @BlindAthlete. Thank you, by the way. But, man, wish I was going with you this week. Just want to say have fun, and y'all get off this car bandwagon. That's our quarterback. Chris criticized one thing. But root them on, baby. Root them on. And y'all guys have fun out there this week. Be safe. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. Later.
That's good stuff right there. That is great stuff. Welcome to the family. Appreciate the call. Make sure that's not your last one. 707-654-4693. Got a couple more calls on today's show. Otea Raider, 801. He's calling in to speak on a few changes that could be happening on Sunday as far as Worley at safety, Levitt at safety, and even Nick Nelson, who was just elevated from the practice squad. Here he is, Otea Raider. 801.
Q, Raider Nation. It's OTR Raider 801 again. Just wanted to chime in on what I just saw in regards to what might be happening on Sunday. I see that Darryl Worley might be getting a shot at playing some safety, and I wanted to give my two cents on that. I kind of feel like he has good vision on the field. I know he has been playing well, but he just hasn't had the speed to keep up. But as far as being able to make plays and having vision, I feel like that would suit him a lot better. I'm hoping that he could be kind of what Gruden said, actually. He compared him to possible being like a Malcolm Jenkins. And we all know how Malcolm Jenkins went. Man, that man was a baller. And we hope that I hope that Worley personally can do that. And I think he has a good crack at being able to, but time will tell, and Sunday will display that. And then also, as for Dylan Levitt getting a promotion and coming up from the special teams unit and then getting his shot, I think that could go well in the sense that if we use him to lay the wood, I know we can do that. As far as coverage, well, the jury's going to be out on that one as well. But he's definitely got some wheels. He's got more speed than people think. I think he's kind of got that underrated speed. I hope he does prove me right. But I know that that man can lay the wood. If we need somebody to make an open tackle in out there in no man's land, I feel like he's capable. And I also feel like he's willing to put his body on the line to make somebody drop a ball mid-play. So I'm hopeful. And then as far as Nick Nelson making it to the DB unit and getting a chance to possibly even play on Sunday, man, I'm not sure where I feel about that or how I feel about that, but I'm hopeful. You know, can't be any worse than what we've seen as of late. I mean, the last 3 weeks have been terrible as far as our secondary is concerned, so I'm hopeful. Hopefully he brings a spark. Hopefully he's learned some things while sitting on a practice squad or watching the team play, and hopefully he's had enough time to also establish himself and get familiarized with the play calling and the scheme. I'm excited to see it though. I'm happy that wasn't just smoke when he was talking about making changes. I'm glad that there's changes. That's my two cents on what I think are possibilities. I hope Nick Nelson can be better than what I remember seeing of him the last time he played. But yeah, that's my two cents. Keep up the good work, Cube. I like your podcast. Keep it rolling, man. Everybody.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man, for sure. I would like to see how Worley can adapt at the safety position. I think you're right. I think he could be better at the safety position than he even is at the corner. I think with him looking at the quarterback all the time, having his eyes in the backfield, could really help him out, because him running and turning his body and looking for the ball, yeah, every once in a while it works out. A lot of times it doesn't. So if he can find a nice spot, carve out a little niche at the safety spot, that could be good. But the thing that concerns me is he didn't practice on Thursday. So we'll see if he practices on Friday, because if he don't practice on Wednesday, he don't practice on Thursday, I don't see him going in at safety all of a sudden on Sunday. I just don't see it happening. So we'll see if he's able to do that. And again, Nick Nelson, I spoke on him a lot on the Wednesday show. Thursday show. I really want to see what he could do, because I was excited when the Raiders drafted him in 2018, but it just didn't work out very well. So thank you so much for that. Final call of the show comes from Red Beard Raider. He's calling about the tailgate party to give you the final updates on how it's going to go, how it should go down on Sunday. Here he is, Red Beard Raider, to close out the show.
Hey, what's going on, Q Raider Nation? You got Red Beard Raider here. I just want to shoot a big thank you to everybody who got their money in by Friday. It was, you know, it was crazy. We had 168 people made the mark. I think this all grew to much more than anybody thought it was. So, one thing that I want to point out, we got 11 parking passes. We're going to have a pretty big area. We're going to need help setting up and all that in the mornings. We do have volunteer lists and all that. So, unfortunately, one of the sucky parts about having a deadline is it's a black and white deadline. Those who couldn't make it in by Friday are more than welcome to come mingle, but you probably need to make your own preparations as far as food and that kind of stuff, just because me, Anna, and Rob, you know, everybody that's working on this, we all work 50 to 60 hours a week on top of it. Sundays, well, we're at the games and having fun with the family. So we really only had last Saturday and this Saturday. Everything else has been on work time. You know, I go to work 12 hours, get off, and go shopping for something. So those who do have the parking passes, we are meeting at the Mobile One there at 7:30 a.m. So just want to touch base with Raider Nation, say I'm looking forward to seeing y'all, and go Raiders. Redbeard Raider out.
Thank you so much for the call and the updates, my man. I look forward to being there. I'll be boarding my flight in just a few hours. I'll be touching down in Oakland about 7 p.m. local time, and then it's all go mode. After that, it's all go mode. Please believe, Saturday morning, I'm going to wake up. I'll be in Dublin. I'll stay the night in Dublin. And then Saturday morning, I'm waking up, going to Gums Barbershop in Hayward, going to get my hair cut, and bada boom, bada bing, it is on and popping after that. So thank you. Thank everyone who has helped out, continue to help out, and get this thing ready. I can't thank everybody enough. I can go through the whole list, but Anna, Rob, Selena, Redbeard Raider. I mean, there's so many people that have contributed, you know, T3 Raider Facts. I mean, there's so many people that have really come together like butt cheeks to try to make this thing go, and to have as many people all gathered at this same location that we're going to have on Sunday is going to be amazing. So please believe everybody who's had a part in this, everyone who's volunteering, everyone who's cooking, everyone who's putting up, everyone who's taking down. I mean, there's just so much going into this. I could go through the list. I mean, I could go on and on and on. It's unbelievable. And really, just to see so many people come together is crazy. You know what I mean? Because it's all for one huge, great cause. I mean, just think about this. Set up alone, Alika, Anna, Zach, Jeffrey, Candace, Carl, Faye, Matt P., Grill, Eric, Alika, Anna, Carl, Victor, Roberto, Renee, Servers, Melissa, Dawn, Simon, Renee, Faye, Teardown, Eric, Alika, Anna, Zach, Jeffrey, Candace, Carl, Faye, Forrest, Nathan, Victor, Renee, Tatiana, Matt. I mean, are you serious? I mean, that's just set up, take down, get the grill going, you know, serving food, drinks, all that other stuff. And that's just to name a few. So everyone, I salute everyone who's helping out. Please believe I'll be in there putting in a lot of work, helping out. I can get my elbows dirty too, man. I'm going to get down and get grindy. Look, I'm a 5-1-0 guy. All right. I'm a blue collar cat. So I'm going to get down. I'm going to get grimy too, man. I talk a good game, but at the same time, man, I'll get in there and get busy with you. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'll see you in a few hours. And everyone else that I won't see in a few hours, anyone who's not going to make it to the game, it's okay. Enjoy it on Sunday. The Raiders are going to come out with a victory. I didn't even give you the keys to the game, but it don't even matter. Raiders win 24-10 over the Jaguars. Josh Jacobs goes over 100 yards. Derek Carr has a nice game. And Raider Nation, we celebrate and we party and we close down the Coliseum in style. So hopefully you enjoyed today's show. Hopefully you reach out to Amy Trask if you're on Twitter, at Amy Trask. Tell her you appreciated her time. And like I said, if you're going to the Coliseum, I'll see you there. If not, I'll holler at you on Monday. It's how we get down. Until then, Raider Nation, as always, just win, baby.